This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Build Forward Tough Studio.
All right, so you find something out about somebody every day, right? You're just like, wow.
Yeah.
You can't understand how this person does this or why they do it. And you just stand there and I can just utter shock when I found this out today. And I was like, what the? So I come to find out that Al decides before he gets out of the car every morning that he puts a body camera on, like he's some sort of policeman or something. And I'm like, what? How far does he have to walk? And what are we doing here? So, like, are you playing, like Al Duke Street Cop or something?
No, but doing? Ever since I had that incident where the guy in the bicycle karate kicked my car door and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to get a dash cam because I saw all these, like, cool things online. People with dash cams, you see when there's trouble, like someone tries to fake an accident with you. You have
thing. 100%, yes.
So when I looked online on like Amazon to try to buy a dash cam, there were so many. And every time I read a review, I could be talked out of it, all this stuff. So I just thought, ooh, you know, I could use a...
ooh.
I could use a body cam for when I get out of my car. So I turn it on when I get in New York City. And then once I get to get out of the car, I strap it to myself. And then that way, if anything happens to me, I'll have it on video.
Yeah. I mean, do you go home and you break down the video at all? Do you go over it and watch it like you're watching a football game or something?
Well, I haven't needed to yet. I've gone back and looked because I had one time a man in a fur coat on a bicycle drove past me, so I wanted to see that. Then I had one where a man in the street, maybe just last week, was screaming at me randomly for no reason. So then I'll go back and I'll look just to see that I have it positioned properly on me. And because at first I was strapping it on my head.
Yeah, I was going to say you strapped it on your
head. That's too high. That is too high of an angle.
Yeah.
So the chest level. That's now, really good. It was only $35.
And it's like a GoPro, that type of thing?
Yeah, I guess it clips on. It's got a clip on. And then you plug it into
battery operated?
Yeah, rechargeable. Then you plug it into your computer and take the videos off of it.
So how much... time will it tape? How much room does it have for that?
I'm not sure it does. So each file is 5 minutes long.
Do you have to clear it every day?
No, I clear it about every 2 weeks or so because I'm only using it for my, you know, my two-block walk.
Do you put it on when you go to your car after work?
No.
Okay.
It's only in the morning because you never know what you're going to run into.
Right. It's only at my very early morning walking in.
And how long have you been doing this?
Probably 2 months.
Oh, okay.
So this
is why I hadn't heard about it before.
Yeah, it's relatively new.
Yeah.
I've just perfected it, like where the placement is on my strap and all that stuff.
So it's on your man bag strap.
Yes.
I mean, is there another kook?
No.
I want to say this gently.
Okay.
Somewhat well-adjusted individual?
I think he's well-adjusted. I think he's got a good heart. I just think he's got a few quirks.
Yeah, but who is doing that? Like, is there anybody who's not a police officer that is, or a documentarian who is strapping a body cam on them just in case they get attacked?
In this, you know, 21 million person tri-state area, you don't think there are other freakazoids like this?
Well, I think like a guy who maybe is a delivery guy on a bike. Maybe he has that.
Well, he should have it because, you know, if he runs into somebody or somebody runs into him or he's going the wrong way down the street or something, you know, who knows?
But, I mean, the short walk in which Al has from his car to the place, I mean, that's really...
Two blocks of intensity.
It could be eventful, those two blocks.
It could be. It's dark.
Yeah.
You know, especially when the springtime and the summer comes around, it's warm outside.
Yeah, a lot of stragglers from the bars, you know, people that don't go to work.
Some other, you know... unfortunate people that are out there on the street that have mental issues.
Yes.
Along with Al.
Along with Al,
that are on the street with their body.
But Al does a good
care.
Job of controlling those mental issues.
Yeah, no, for sure. But are you hoping, I know this is a weird question, are you hoping that something happens
no.
that you could get this on the body
no.
cam and be like, see, look.
No, no, no. I okay. don't want to be a part of anything.
That would be right. great to get it to go viral. It'd be awesome. You're all about getting it to go viral, right?
Not for that reason.
Not for
like an incident in New York City. No.
Well, we kind of went viral with that subway thing when those shirtless dudes were dancing around you,
and you're sitting there.
That was great.
That was unbelievable. It's like they knew that it was you on that subway train.
Yeah.
Is it the last subway you were on?
No, I took a subway up to the Craig Hall of Fame thing.
Oh, you did,
but only because you know, with C-Mac, who looked.
Big.
He was in a suit, and he looked just like he was meant business, so yeah, I felt
like he
better.
He could have been like your...
Like an off-duty police
your muscle.
Officer.
He could have been like your muscle.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Eddie, you were about to say something there? He popped your mic on?
Yes, I was, and now it's gone.
But I recommend this for anyone who's like a jogger, if you run at night.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're a woman who's running at night, and I've
you shouldn't
seen,
be doing it.
Yeah, I also saw, like, you know, it's just, this is a weird thing, but like, so today this happened. So I see a young woman coming up the sidewalk as I'm about to cross the street to get to the door we go in. And like, we're the only two people around. So when I see her, I make sure I dart across the street so she doesn't think that I'm some sort of sicko. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because we're the only two people out here. You know, why am I out here at this hour?
Was she running?
She looked like she was working out. She was walking at the time, but she was in a workout outfit. So maybe she was just doing a little combination, whatever.
Every now and again, you'll see people are around here, young women running.
Right, I know.
By themselves, down these streets. And I'm like, what are you doing?
So, like, even though my normal route was to pass her if she wasn't there, I changed my route just to be like, listen, it's okay. I'm not a weirdo, like in a passive way, as opposed to going, hey, I'm not a weirdo. I'm not going to attack you.
If you said, hey, I'm not a weirdo, I'm not going to attack you, I would think that you are a weirdo
for
saying that.
Yeah, so then I just sort of let her know, like, hey, it's okay. I'm going over here. I'm not
one of
these
people. You took whatever agita she may have had at that moment. Maybe she doesn't have any. Maybe she's not aware of it.
Yeah. But
the other thing, too, is running around with like the headsets on.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't hear anything. Yeah, I know. But I could see someone wearing a body cam doing that. If you're a woman running in the middle of the night, you wear a body cam.
Well, if you're a guy like Al running in the middle of the night, you want to wear a body cam.
I mean, I just, before he figured out to put it on his chest, the visual of him sitting in his car before he's getting out of it and strapping a camera to the top of his head like he's a miner. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I wanted that to work, but... But then I thought, well, I can't have that for the summer. So the way I have it set up now is perfect for all seasons because I carry that man bag all year round.
And you strap it over your shoulder, like crossway, like you're a crossing guard.
So picture
and
I have.
It sits right there, man. It's perfect.
Yeah, so I have that on. I have the pepper spray in my one hand. I mean, I have, and my head on a swivel.
You are locked and loaded, as they say. Yeah, I could see it. You know, smart by you. I can't sit here and criticize somebody for running in the middle of the morning. And then not sit here and support Al and what he's trying to do to keep himself safe.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that a young woman alone running multiple blocks is a little bit different than, you know, a man in his 50s walking a block to work who's already got weapons on him.
Well, he's had a couple of run-ins.
I will say that if you're doing this in the morning, you should do it after the show as well. Because, I mean, you know, craziness on the street knows no time. It's just, it could happen at any point. So I would strap that thing on too, leaving work, because you never know. I mean, I've had the issues leaving here with someone going nuts.
I know you have.
It's not just exclusive to before the sun comes up.
Who was the celebrity out on the corner? King and Hudson. You weren't. Maybe it was Sal Licata. Was
it Paul Rudd?
Yeah, it was a Paul Rudd. What was that
whole
issue?
Story?
Yeah, what was that issue?
Oh, that was one of my favorite stories ever. Pete Bellotti, who has worked at WFAN now at the network, he's just one of these guys that, like, he's not a lucky person. Let's put it that way, right? Like, so he's just, it's not one of those that the sun is not shining on him all the time. It's just one of those things. So he goes out to his car one day, and he sees that someone picked up a garbage can, one of those big metal garbage cans in the city, and threw it onto his windshield and broke it. So the best part about this is when he gets there to see this, Sean Morash is standing there, and he goes, "Pete, I didn't know this was your car. I was just sitting here talking to Paul Rudd about this." Who legitimately is Pete's favorite actor.
Come on.
I'm serious. His favorite actor. So not only was his car completely after the windshield was broken, he just missed like a natural organic interaction with his favorite actor by like 2 minutes.
Yet Sean Morash had the interaction. Perfect.
Yeah. And you know, Sean's probably just loving it. He's like, you like Paul Rudd?
Did you ever figure out why some jackass picked up the garbage can?
No, it's just, I think it was just a random attack by the crazy person.
Okay.
Fran in Island Heights. What's going on, Fran?
Hi, how you doing this morning? Love your show. Thanks. I just want to correct Boomer on something where he said Al was running with the body cam on. He's not running and he's not walking. He's scurrying. To the
yeah, I can see that. Yes.
He's a scurrier.
Yeah, he's definitely a scurrier. There's no question about it.
Lynn in Hackensack, what's going on, Lynn?
So, I guess you guys haven't heard. My brother-in-law has sunglasses with a camera in it. So he'll be looking at us at a party, and we're like, "You're recording us right now, right? You little freak."
Your little freak is right.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yes, that is strange.
I mean, that to me, like, I understand why Al's doing it, especially doing it that hour. Like, he's not walking around the streets on a warm day with his body cam and then following a woman down the street. Like, but if you're wearing, like, creepy video capturing sunglasses all around your house, and I mean, that's a pervert right there. That's you buy those glasses if you're a pervert. That's like you go to the pervert shop to get that.
So that was Lynn's brother-in-law?
I think that's what she said, yeah. Oh, by the way, this all started because Al said he wished he had the body camera on or a dash cam on when he saw this flashing light, and he can explain it better because he experienced it this morning when he was driving to work.
Yeah, I was coming up the parkway, and overhead of me, lower than a plane, a white light right over my car, and then disappeared. It was like, whoosh. I don't know if it was a shooting star or a spaceship. One of the two.
Now, yeah, was lower it coming in a plane when you say it, when you're saying, so around here, planes are either landing at JFK or they're landing at Newark. They could be 1,500 feet.
Well, this is so fast. It was not, definitely wasn't a plane. And it was just a white light, and it went over my car, and then I saw it just disappear into the night, but so fast.
And it came from behind you?
From behind me.
Okay.
Well, McGuire is down there, right? Air Force Base?
No sound.
No sound.
No sound.
Huh. I wonder if there's anybody else. Were the roads, were there people on the roads at that point?
And this was regular, New Jersey Parkway heading north.
So other people this morning, you think, saw the same thing?
Well, I did have a gentleman reach out to me on Twitter because I told Jerry this, and a guy said he saw it as well.
Hmm.
What do you think? So you have no idea what it is.
No.
And you still haven't gotten a satisfactory answer in regards to the drone sightings over the summer.
No, I have not.
So it's still going on. People have just moved on to something else. We still have these sightings.
Yeah, that was in the news for about a month, and then goodbye.
Yeah, and 60 Minutes tried to bring it back like 2 weeks ago. They did a whole thing on it at like straight up 7 p.m. the one night, 7 to 7:15, and nothing came of it.
I didn't see that. I didn't even know it was happening. Yeah, but I mean, do you think that any of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy for you where you really want this to be true and sometimes you're seeing things and your mind is exaggerating them?
No, I don't. This one was a weird one because I wasn't looking for anything. This one just flew right over my car. And then just, I am telling you, that thing was flying and it just disappeared into the evening sky. Not high up either.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the shooting star in the mornings driving, and you see that, like it comes down, and you can, like, see it. And that's, like, fun to see, you know, like a...
It has, like, a trail,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and this one was, like, red or orange you could see behind it. I mean, it's wild, and you think, like, this is, you know, had to be a tiny thing, because it wasn't a report of any, like, blowing up a house or anything. I've seen that, but just a white light? Man, that's nuts.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's the
things happen to him that it just never happened to me. I don't know what it is.
Are you familiar with the Fermi paradox?
I am not.
Eddie?
Of course, yes.
Okay. There's so much out there in the cosmos and so many suns that there has to be life somewhere else, but we can't find it. So that's Enrico Fermi, right? His paradox.
We got enough problems with the people we already found. We don't need to find any more people.
Well, they're not people. They'd be, you know.
Maybe they could aliens, whatever you want to call them.
Hunter in Poughkeepsie. What's going on, Hunter?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, I don't want to sound crazy or anything like that, but I do a lot of driving for work. And the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen the same thing twice. Where up in the sky is like a silvery, shiny oval. And as I'm looking at it while I'm driving, it just disappears out of nowhere. I saw it yesterday and I saw it like 2 weeks ago. So that's all I'm saying.
And is it moving fast like Al was saying?
It's moving. You almost think that it's a plane, but it doesn't move like one. Like I saw it turn and as it turned sideways, it completely disappeared. And a plane doesn't do that.
Yeah. I mean... Someone will tell you who doesn't believe in aliens that you know, when it's at nighttime and the light is facing you with the plane and that bright light, and then when it turns, it looks like it disappears, but it doesn't because you don't see the same light that you did when it was looking at you. So it appears to disappear.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter sounded like a reasonable guy. Yeah. I don't think he's crazy.
No, I don't.
And maybe he did see something, but he just doesn't know what it is. Like, and there's no reports of anything.
No. But if there were, people wouldn't believe it. See, that's another issue.
Right.
But this is why Al needs to get the dash cam and the body cam. We need to see these things. Dash cam, think about that. Dash cam captures this. This guy, he's got that video.
It goes viral.
Huge.
It would be enormous. Al would be famous. And Al would be a guest on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, it'd be too big for News 12. He would have to shoo News 12 away. Yeah,
Dateline, something like that.
Yeah. Peter in Poughkeepsie. What's going on, Peter?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
All right,
good,
man. Peter, what's happening?
Good, man. First time, long time. You guys made me think of something that happened when I was a kid. I was at church with my parents for Easter. It was a night mass, and I had a 1977 Lincoln Continental. We're sitting there, they're talking to some family members. I had my feet inside the car, and I had my arms on top of the hood, you know, or the roof, I should say. Mm-hmm. And a freaking shooting star comes down and it lands literally right in front of my face on top of the hood, and it disintegrated. And I couldn't even tell my parents about it because it disintegrated. There's no proof of it. And I figured they'd think I was lying. So I never told anybody about it. And you guys just literally made me think of it. It was the craziest thing. It landed right in front of me and it disintegrated. There was no proof of it. Nothing. It was gone.
Is this the first time you've ever publicly come out with this story?
This is the first time I really told anybody about it. Yeah.
Wow. You guys really? Wow. Are you under an assumed name right now?
No, man. This is me, Pete from Poughkeepsie, man. Boomer G. You guys are great. I listen to you guys every single day. I drive all day long. I listen to you guys are great, man. Pleasure. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you. I mean, so there you go. A guy got hit by a shooting star. Yeah. What is that? I mean,
that happens.
It does?
Yeah, it's space junk, space rocks. This stuff, it's out there. It happens.
Man, none of this stuff ever happens. I'm not going to wood it. Nothing never happens to me. I don't want it to happen to me. I mean, I guess I don't walk around with my head up in the air.
Yeah.
Looking up for different things. I don't know what it is.
You know, I got to two quick notes Pete Bilotti sent me about that day because I got a couple other things wrong, which makes the story even better. So there were cameras all over where his car was.
Yes.
But scaffolding was up, so it blocked every single view. And also the Paul Rudd thing, Pete was there, saw it, went inside a building to talk to his insurance agent because he wanted it to be quiet and wanted to go inside. And that's when Paul Rudd came around.
So he missed him. He would have been out there.
Yeah, which makes it even worse. He's inside.
I got to say, not that I'm not trying to discount the popularity of Paul Rudd, but like of all of his favorite actors.
Yeah. Well, Paul Rudd's a pretty famous guy. He plays in those comedies. I mean, yeah.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like that's just such a random thought.
No, I know. And there he was. Just there looking at Pete's destroyed car, laughing at it. With Pete not getting a chance to meet him.
Wow.
I mean, what did I do in another life to deserve this? All right, let's go to... No, it's not. Let's take a break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back. He's got a lot of stuff to tell us about. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by ServPro, cleanup, restoration, and construction. Visit ServPro.com. Last hour, we heard Dave Sims' call of the Grand Slam, which turned this Yankee game around into favor for a Diamondbacks win. Here's how it sounded in Phoenix.
2-2 pitch. Swung on, high fly ball, deep left field, Bellinger back, track, wall, it is gone! Grand Slam Suarez! And a dagger to the Yankees late! As the Diamondbacks now take a 7-4 lead.
And that was
that
was Diamondbacks radio with the call. A 7-4 lead, 7-5. The final as Arizona came from behind and beat New York. They were down 4-2 in the eighth. Scored a run, then got the grand slam. The relief pitching Yankee closer was on paternity leave. Devin Williams, so we knew that. So he had Tim Hill and Mark Leiter, and it didn't work out so good. Here was Leiter. So what happened in that spot?
Can't walk. Two guys. That's really it. That's really all I got for you. Just can't really walk those two guys.
All right. So then why did you, if you know it?
Trying to keep Carroll close and being a little too quick, probably falling behind and then not landing the off-speed pitches.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday all day I had Corbin Burnes confused with Patrick Corbin.
Mm.
And I said to my friend, my boy, the Yankees are going to light this team up. He was looking at me like I'm nuts. It didn't hit me until I'm watching the game like, wrong Corbin, jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. Different guy.
Different guy for sure. So that's the way that game ends. Now, along the way, the Yankees hit some home runs, and it is time for the Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and it is the Yankee shortstop.
Anthony Volpe swings in, drives one. Deep left center field. Giddy up, baby. Gone! Anthony Volpe ties this game at 2-2 here in the fourth inning. What a drive for him, his third home run.
Yeah, of the season.
Erno.
So, Jesus. Four games.
I don't know if you guys...
He's the Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Back to the program.
I saw Dave Sims do another interview where he was on an exercise bike doing the interview on Zoom. Some guy's podcast, but he decided, hey, if I'm going to do this and you're going to take my time, I'm going to be on this exercise bike.
Jake Asman have him on?
No, it wasn't that guy. I don't know. It was some baseball podcast.
Oh, okay.
And he was doing the whole thing. You know, it's just funny. He's now getting annoyed about the people talking about, you know, hey, replacing John Sterling. Hey, you think you're going to do some John Sterling stuff? And you could tell he's had enough of that. He goes, hey.
It's not like he's 40 years old and doesn't have a career of his own.
Well, that's why he's getting annoyed.
Yes, exactly.
You know, but you could definitely tell that he's had enough.
I would think if I was him, though, I would think the first few weeks I would expect it. And then it kind of peters out.
Yeah.
I would think.
Absolutely. But he keeps going back, hey, I replaced Dave Niehaus and Seattle. I mean, I've done this before. I mean, why are you even asking me these questions? You know, it's not about replacing John.
Yeah,
for
I get
God's
it.
Sakes. You know?
But like Boomer says, he's had a pretty good career himself.
No, he has, but... He's gotten to the point now. He is done. He is done with those John Sterling questions.
Here's a hint of advice. Stop doing the interviews.
Yeah, exactly, because that's all you're going to get.
Mets and Marlins last night in Miami, an early start for the Marlins.
The 1-0, though, is hit deep, way back in right center. Back goes Seri. Forget it. This ball is gone. onto the grassy knoll in right center field. Well, Dolger Stowers has problem, and there's his first home run of the year. The former Baltimore Oriole, Kyle Stowers, has given the Miami Marlins a 2-0 first inning lead against Kodai Senga.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Mets Howie Rose.
Odyssey Radio. Mets would come back and tie the game, but then you would get the 2-run double in the fourth from Graham Pauly. It started with a Francisco Lindor error at shortstop. Then you had a walk in between a couple of hits. You had a walk from Senga, then the base hit that drove in two, and 4-2 was the final. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Senga was good after a slow start.
Other than the first two batter of the game, you know, Edwards got him there, and then the homer on the fastball right down the middle. I thought, you know, he kind of like a wake-up call there for him, you know, after that, and he was really good, you know, the slider, sweeper.
All of that stuff, the ghost forkball, but not enough. Here was Lindor, who did apologize for his defense.
I told him that my bat's on me. He had a great game, and he said, don't worry about it. I could have picked you up, and he's a great professional. He's a great teammate, and he didn't have to say that, but he did. You know, at the end of the day, it's our job to finish the place, and today was on
I
me.
I think they said when he made the second error, I think Gary said he had 12 errors all of last season in 160 games, and he had two yesterday, so very rare for sure. Series finale today at 4:40. Clay Holmes makes the start. Sean Manaea retweaked the oblique injury and was shut down for two more weeks. And then just 10 seconds on this, because you do not see this very often in baseball anymore. The Rangers, who lost to the Reds a whopping 14-3 on Monday, came back Tuesday and...
And a bouncer. First base. Springer has it. Eovaldi covering. This one is over. A shutout for Nathan Eovaldi on 99 pitches.
How about that? The complete game in eight. Forget April. Yeah. Just in the season for Nathan Eovaldi. They win.
Like seeing a black swan.
1-0. Yeah, I would say so. Yes, absolutely. All right, we go to Florida for the owner meetings. Couple of things here. This hour, Jed York of the 49ers talking about losing a lot of players this offseason. And the reason for that is so they can re-sign Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that we had to make sacrifices around the roster to make sure that you can pay quarterback. Right? Like, it's just math.
It's just math, okay.
And then the salary cap has gone up significantly and is going to continue to go up significantly over the next 4 years.
Yeah, he could have said that Debo Samuel's fat and happy after that contract or happy to ship his ass out of here, but he was more political about it.
I think they're going to keep Brandon Ayuk, I believe, but he possibly could be traded. But the fact of the matter is Brock Purdy's going to sign an enormous contract. It's going to be big. It's going to be a really big contract.
It's going to be huge.
The other one is going to be Nick Sirianni, as I was telling you guys. Yep. Like, he's going into the final year of his contract, kind of like, you know, Mike McCarthy did down in Dallas. And there's no way that the Eagles are going to let him go into the final year of his contract as a lame duck head coach.
Off a Super Bowl?
I mean, come on.
There's nothing else
he's
for him to do.
Been to two Super Bowls.
No, I know, but I'm saying off a Super Bowl championship.
Should have won the first one.
In terms of Jerry Jones, obviously the headlines are the agent and what's his name. Don't know his name. Okay, fine. Going through the 35 minutes that he spoke, though, he was asked if he's worried about the Parsons negotiations holding up other deals that they could possibly do.
I've never had anything I wanted I couldn't get. Ever. I'll figure out a way.
That just sounds so...
Except that one waitress in San Antonio in 1974 with the beautiful...
But you know what? They'll have three of the highest paid players in football.
They will. That is true. With CD, Dak, and him.
It's crazy, man. You better, if you're going to invest in these guys, you better make sure that they're going to give you all pro. Like, these guys are asking for Hall of Fame type money.
And they've done nothing in terms of winning playoff games.
They're in a weird spot. Like, would a team, like, I was talking to you guys about the Browns trading Myles Garrett. What do you think a team would give up to get Micah Parsons?
It better be a lot.
Well, it would be, right?
Yeah, I don't know. A ton.
I mean, they did this before with Herschel Walker.
Yeah, but I mean, that that's not going to happen again. I mean, the closest thing we got to that was Deshaun Watson, and still that Herschel Walker trade looked ridiculous, even compared to the Deshaun Watson one. Think about the thing that made Deshaun Watson worse was all the guaranteed money, how expensive it was after all the... You know, the massage things.
I know. Well, all I know is that they're talking about now, as Jamar Chase is the highest paid non-quarterback and Myles Garrett's right behind him, then Max Crosby. Supposedly, Micah Parsons is going to be higher than Jamar Chase.
We did get, along the way, a couple of life lessons from Jerry, as we always seem to.
If you really want to do something productive, turn out every light as you walk out the room. don't spend any nickel, because you're going to need the nickel the next day, next month, next year.
And then he'd give you a little more on the nickel.
You don't know where you're going to spend that nickel when you turn your light out in the house that only the mice are using.
Dude, I don't know. Saving money for tomorrow is basically what he's saying.
I don't know. How. Did anybody ask him about this 10-part series that Skydance Sports is doing on
not
him?
Not that I saw, no.
Depending on how deep into it they're going to get, that's going to be really interesting.
I feel like I could have my lights off for a month and I'd still get a $650 electric bill.
You are not kidding. It's so true. Knicks beat the Sixers last night, 105-91. We'll have more sound on them coming up next hour. They do play in Cleveland tonight. The Cavs are 60-15 on the season. The T-Wolves beat the Nuggets, probably the game of the night, in double overtime, 140-139. Here is the sequence of how the game ends. So this is Russell Westbrook, who makes a play, doesn't make a play, and then compounds the problem, and they wind up losing the game. This is the guy, I think it's Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio, who throws in his little comments along the way.
Conley looks in, throws it off in the corner over to Edwards, guarded by Gordon, gets double teamed, throws it away! Westbrook steal! Christian Westbrook, layup no good! 9 seconds to go! How do you miss that? In the front court, Conley over to Edwards, 4 seconds to go for the winner! Missed it into hard! Walker! They called a foul on Westbrook!
And then they would make the free throws and they would wind up winning the game. Here was Anthony Edwards. I think he had 34, I believe, in the win. But Nikola Jokic had 61, 10, and 10. Here was Edwards.
That might have been the best game of my life, like, that I've been a part of. Nikola Jokic, bro. Oh, my God. He might be the best basketball player I've ever seen, like, close up, besides myself to myself. Bro, he's incredible, bro.
Besides myself. So that was pretty good. That was a hell of a win, and a big night by Jokic. You had Steph Curry go for 52, and the Warriors went over the Grizzlies, and the Bucks shot 69% and went over the Suns last night. Buzz Williams hired by Maryland as their new head coach, and the Islanders lost to the Lightning 4-1. Jake Gensel with the go-ahead goal in the second. After the game, Patrick Roy was asked why Anthony Duclair did not see much ice time, and he gave you a very, very honest answer.
It was god-awful. He had a bad game. That's why I didn't play him a lot, and he's lucky to be in the lineup. Sorry if I lose it on them right now, but that's how I feel.
He sucked.
God bless him, man.
He sucked. He sucked so hard. He sucked the color out of a marble.
So a 4-1 loss for the Islanders. Rangers Wild tonight. Next hour, I will have for you a couple of coaches having fun at another coach's expense from the owner meetings. We will have for you an unfortunate incident at halftime of an NBA game. And did he or did he not say the magic word? All of that coming up next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You see this story yesterday about a man who was going to a job interview and left his children at a McDonald's that had a playpen while he was doing this job interview. And it was from like 4:30 to 6:20. Walked his three kids there right before 4:30, came to check on them at one point, then returned at 6:20. And the people that were in the restaurant noticed this, were concerned. Police were called, and he was arrested and charged with deprivation of a minor for leaving the kids there. So Antonio Brown jumps in, makes this a national story even bigger. And says, story caught me by surprise, a dad just trying to find a way to make money for his family. I know he shouldn't just leave his kids, but some people don't have the means for babysitting, and they started a GoFundMe page, and they have raised $28,000 for him as of last night.
Gotta get my money.
I mean, this is an interesting one. I'm right in the mix with young children. And you're right in the mix with young children as your grandchildren. A 10-year-old can be mature enough to keep an eye on a kid for a few minutes.
You would like to think so.
A few minutes.
Depending on where.
Yeah.
That's I think the issue here. And like, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know anything about his life. If there's a sister involved, I don't know. I have no idea. So it all I can when you read it, it just it's and what was the job that he was interviewing for, and where was it?
It was nearby. I don't know what he was interviewing for, but
I mean,
it was,
I would like to know that.
Well, I mean, why?
Just to make sure he was actually really interviewing for a job. That's
okay.
All
right.
Just want to make sure. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, we see a lot of these stories, and we just all feel like, you know, there's another part of the story that we don't know about. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, a one-year-old, like, you can't leave a one-year-old in a public place with the person that is directly responsible for the one-year-old being 10.
Yeah, and again, I don't know this young man's circumstances. I don't know what his personal life is like. I have no idea. You know, obviously, if the story is true and he's legitimately trying to get a job, good for him for trying to do that. That's good.
Yeah.
But the thought that you would leave your kids, it does kind of make sense. Like, you're going to put them in a public place. A McDonald's seems like it would be a virtually safe place for your 10-year-old to watch the other two.
Yeah, but I mean, I would think, like, there are many times where either I'm not home, have to do something, Gina doesn't have the help with the mother-in-law where, you know, she has to bring Summer to things she would never bring her to because she's not in school 5 days a week. Bring her to the doctor's office. She's got to bring her there. Like, so if this guy was completely honest with the people and said, hey, listen, can my kids just stay in the waiting room while I interview? Because of this thing.
I don't know about it. That sounds like a reasonable thought, but there's no way in the world that you're thinking that way. I don't know why he was thinking this way. I'm just saying, like, he obviously doesn't have a lot of means. That's the point. And that he found himself in a very weird situation to be able to go for a job interview, supposedly.
The rest of the story.
Right, I would just like to know what the rest of the story is, as Paul Harvey used to say.
Yeah. But I mean, can you see it?
You know, on the face of it, I kind of feel bad for him. I do. But I just want to know that the whole story is accurate. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. And we don't, like you said, you have no idea anything about his history or who he is or what. He could be the greatest guy ever. He could be someone who has a checkered past. You have no idea about that. I just think that at the nuts and bolts of it, it's a tough thing to just drop your kids off at a public place at a ball pit and a slide, and one of them being one with the 10-year-old.
I want to know what the job, where the job interview was, and who was it with, and what kind of job is it?
Yeah, I think he was interviewing for the overnight at Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, maybe, you never know.
I think that's what he was doing there.
All right, but it's obviously he's struggling. He thought that this would be the safest, best way for him to be able to attend a job interview at 6:20. What time was this?
It was 4:30.
4:30 in the afternoon?
And then he returned at 6:20, yeah.
Oof, that's a long time for a one-year-old.
No, I know. I mean,
5 minutes is a long time for a one-year-old.
I mean, you think about diapers and the peeing and the pooping and the, you know.
I'm just thinking about Allie right now. My, I would say, kind of like the youngest. Like, Mika's the youngest, but she's not ready to be walking around yet. Yeah. Allie is up and walking around like a maniac.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about leaving her, like, in a McDonald's with her siblings. Who? I have no idea what would happen.
Yeah, I know.
First of all, she'd probably order, like, 3 Big Macs.
But then also, like, I mean,
Happy Meals.
I mean, you know how like kids like that can start crying and wailing over anything, and then you got the 10-year-old isn't equipped to help that kid out in a situation. Like, it's a lot.
But you never know. Like the 10-year-old could be advanced given the situation that they find themselves in. I don't know.
Yeah. So I was thinking about doing a social experiment today. I was just going to drop my kids off at Dunkin' Donuts in Sayville and just leave them for a couple hours, see what happens, see how they do.
Yeah, but they don't have, like, a play pit, right?
No, but they got donuts and chairs. That's all they need, my kids. Donuts and chairs.
Yeah, okay.
See what happens. Okay.
I'll tell you what will happen. Suffolk County PD is going to roll up on it. That's what's going to happen.
I know, obviously. I'm kidding. I would never do such a thing. I can't even imagine. Like, I don't know. I mean, especially also, like, coming from Disney World, and like at a couple of times I was like, oh my God, where's Summer? And then I'm like, oh, she's in the stroller. You know what I mean? You like, you got it. And she's going to be four. I mean, you just like, as a parent, it's not helicopter parenting. It's just when you're in a public place with a lot of people, it's like you just don't, you know that it's very easily that a kid can just wander off somewhere. And then you're freaking out.
No, it's a different world. You know, I lost my mom when I was seven.
Yeah.
My older sisters were much older than me. They were teenagers. And, you know, there were times where, you know, my dad had no choice to pray to God that when he came home, the house wasn't burned down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know that I would imagine somewhere. And then I remember my grandfather moved in with us. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And, but he wasn't really aware of what was going on or anything. But yeah, I was kind of like in the same type of situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough deal. I understand. I mean, if everything on the surface is true here and he's doing everything he can to take care of his family and all of that, I mean, that is a part of it. It's just, even Antonio Brown's like, I know he shouldn't have left his kids, you know? Let's go to Jimmy and Hazlitt. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey guys, I was just this situation you're talking about, the father leaving his kids at McDonald's, and when Gio, you suggested maybe he should bring him to the interview and leave him in the waiting room, the first thing I thought of was, I don't know if you ever saw it, but that scene in Mr. Mom when the boss walks into the bathroom and the kids are trashing the bathroom and the father's, and he's holding the daughter up to the hand dryer.
Yes.
And they just walk in. That would probably what would happen.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of that.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that probably what would happen, but the other thing that wouldn't happen is he wouldn't have been arrested, you know? So,
right.
Like, you know, if you have to air dry your baby's butt in the bathroom and a potential employer sees that, at least you're not in the Bing later in the day, you know?
Yes.
Let's go to Andrew in Rockville Center. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, first time caller, big fan. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Listen, I just wanted to comment on the story. I live on Long Island, and I understand some of the things you're saying about a one-year-old and how hard it is. I was a volunteer lacrosse coach up in Harlem for something called Docs Lacrosse. And we had kids brought, you know, 6 and 7 year olds brought by their 12-year-old siblings. And the maturity level when these things are sort of thrust upon you is really incredible. And I'm not saying this was the smartest thing this guy ever did, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you're trying to find a job, you might do something that you otherwise would recognize as reckless. And I just feel like, without knowing more, again, assuming the story is as presented, I feel terrible for this guy. You're trying to find a job. You're trying to figure out what you can do. Keep the kid safe for an hour. They said he checked in at least once. He sounds like a responsible enough parent under the circumstances. But I just don't think we can sort of apply what we would do with our kids in Sayville or Rockville Center or East Islip to this guy's situation. It just doesn't seem like a fair analogy.
Yeah, but we're also assuming that he's dead broke. And, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, just because he's going for a job interview doesn't mean that he's...
Yeah, we don't know anything about him. Yeah, I mean,
the rest of the story.
Right, exactly. I I'm not applying anybody's standards. That's why I said I don't know anything about him. I don't know what his life is like and whether we're going to defer to Antonio Brown or not. That's all another story.
I'm a great influence.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he made a decision. The decision is basically against the law.
Yeah.
And he's unfortunately paying a price for it, but he's also receiving a lot of money for it. I just want to make sure that I know what the job was and if, in fact, it truly was, he was legitimately interviewing for a real job, then, my heart goes out to him.
Yeah, it's tough. I understand. And we also don't know that... You know, something I did think about that the caller mentioned, the maturity of, not every 10-year-old is the same.
Well, that's what I said. I said, you know, this 10-year-old may be different
right.
because of the way that, and I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but by the way that, you know, the things that they've had to deal with in their life already up to that point.
You know, there's somebody out there watching this like, man, you're telling me I can get $30,000 from a GoFundMe page just for leaving my kids at a McDonald's? Let's do that.
Well, if you get Antonio Brown to amplify it, yeah.
But no, for real.
For real.